13 Skulls Podcast, episode number 10. Welcome, everybody, to the 13 Skulls Podcast, episode number 10. I'm your host, TJ, coming to you from Fort Worth, Texas. In this episode, we're going to talk about some listener emails that concern some previous topics we've discussed about in some previous episodes. We're going to talk about some of the best damn data of 2007. So, Shadow People, prehistoric nuclear war, and a little bit more than that coming up on this episode number 10 of the 13 Skulls Podcast. Well, thanks again, everybody, for joining me today. Just to get some of the formality stuff out of the way, I've been kind of busy, so that's why the show hasn't been out recently. I apologize for that. For the whole Christmas New Year's thing, it was just hard to get an episode out with traveling and all the stuff that goes along with it. I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about as far as how it's busy that time of the year. The 13skulls.com website is going to be slightly improved and updated. I've changed a few things, and the show eventually will be hosted on one site, which means the feed is eventually going to change. I'll let you guys know in plenty of advance time about that. The overall appearance of the website will be changed dramatically. I'll let you all know when this is going to happen, before it happens, and let you know when it happens. Basically, the Podomatic feed will eventually be going the way of the dinosaurs. I mean, it's just not going to be around anymore. I've changed basically who is going to be, I hate to say hosting my site, because it's still hosted through who it normally is. But basically what I've done is I've signed up to have, a different site or whatever to be able to work on the site and, to have a feed along with it. So eventually the 13skulls.com is going to change dramatically. You'll be able to subscribe to it, get the feed and listen to it and all that stuff through the website, rather than having two different websites, one on the Podomatic one and one on the actual, the 13skulls.com. So things will be changing quite differently fairly soon, as soon as I can get the website up and running. But again, I'll let you guys know about that, before it happens and when it actually does happen. Well, one of the things that I wanted to kind of get out of the way here is I want to do a little bit of explaining. I've read some of the reviews and some of the things that people have to say about this show. And for the most part, they're good. But I just wanted to say that I do the show how I want to do the show and the way that I want to do the show. There are plenty of paranormal shows out there and shows that cover other topics that, frankly, are quite a bit better than this show. I know that. I have no background in audio or radio or anything like that. As a matter of fact, before I started doing this podcast, I had absolutely no experience. I've got about a year under my belt now, so I kind of know what I'm doing, at least a little bit. But like I've said before, I do this show because I enjoy doing it. Not to be an ass, but if you don't like the show, then don't listen to it. I mean, it won't hurt my feelings if you don't listen to it, because whenever I first started doing this podcast, and pretty much up till now, it didn't really matter to me if anybody listened or not. I mean, I enjoy the fact that people like the show and that they like to listen to it. But, if you don't like it, don't listen to it. It's not going to hurt my feelings any, to be honest with you. But, I just wanted to let everybody know that basically I do the show the way I want to do it because I enjoy doing it. But if I have some input from people and you want me to, do things a certain way, I'll give it some consideration, I enjoy doing the show that I wanted the way I want to do it. And as far as the music is concerned, I like it. There's not a lot of shows out there that have music, and some do. I try to play some of the music that I find and that I like so I can share with everybody what I find. I like the music in the show. Every time I put out a show, I listen to it. I go back and you know, actually listen to it several times. I download it just like everybody else does, just so I can, you know, get a feel for what other people are experiencing when they get the show. I think it adds a little something to the show that a lot of other shows don't have. I mean, there's a lot of shows out there that have music, but I try to make it a little bit different than others because some people play whole entire songs in between, you know, in between the topics that they're talking about or when they go on break, and you know, others don't play any music at all, or they play just small little snippets of it. And I want to give you guys a good taste of it, but I don't want to wear you out with playing the entire song. You know, it gives a little bit of something other than just having to hear my voice. And personally, I like the music. And if it bothers anybody that I excessively use music, well, you know, you have my apologies, but I like it. And, you know, again, not to be an ass, but it's my show, and so the music's going to stay, you know, the way that it is because I personally enjoy it. So anyway, I apologize if that came off a little bit strong, but I just wanted to do some explaining to everybody to let them know that, you know, I do the show because I like it, and I throw the music in there because, you know, frankly, because I like it. You know, I enjoy it. It's the way I want to do the show. And if you enjoy the show, thank you. If you don't enjoy the show, let me know. You know, I want to hear all kinds of feedback. I want to hear the good and the bad. You can't have one without the other. So if you have any opinions on the show, you know, shoot me an email or send me a voicemail or something and let me know what you think about the show. You know, if there's something specific you want me to talk about, let me know, because the next few shows after this one are going to be kind of topical. Each show is going to pertain to, you know, kind of just one thing, such as, you know, we're going to be talking about a lot more about ancient history, a lot more about just topical stuff, just, you know, rather than flip-flopping back and forth from article to article to article. And, you know, it also depends on what I find. If I'm searching for stuff and I find a whole bunch of stuff, then I'll talk about a whole bunch of stuff. But if I can find a whole bunch of stuff on one topic, then I think I'm going to kind of go that direction. But anyway, you know, I just wanted to let you guys know a little bit about what I was planning and why I was doing the show. So if you got an opinion on it, just, you know, let me know about it. Well, the first thing that I wanted to talk about was a few listener emails that I've received recently. And the first one was from Molly. Again, thank you for writing in, Molly. I really appreciate it. She says that this email has to do with the parallel universes that I was talking about that kind of confused me in the last episode. Her email says, parallel universes have to do with physics, at least it seems to me. It's like different dimensions. So eventually I'm going to check out the string theory to see what she, you know, what she's talking about. She tells me to check out the string theory. They may have interaction with each other due to hypothetical tears in the time-space continuum, or at least that's the only logic that she can make out of it. Well, thanks for writing in, Molly. I really appreciate it. I will be doing an episode on the string theory, on the super string theory, and the M theory coming up in one of the next couple of episodes. So again, Molly, thanks for writing in. Also got an email from Mr. and Mrs. Matthias, and they basically, their email said, listen to the podcast, great stuff. Again, the prehistoric creature in the pond is called a triops. It is a tadpole shrimp. I've grown them myself, and they're really cool. Check them out on Google. You can just type in triops, which is T-R-I-O-P-S. And he shot me some, or sent me some pictures of this thing. And basically, it's one of the pictures that was posted for this episode. And I'll post more of them up on the main 13skulls.com website once I get it up and running, so you guys can check those out. But the main picture for the show is of one of those triops. So basically, I guess it's just a tadpole shrimp. It's not actually something that is of some kind of prehistoric nature. Now, granted, it could be a descendant of some kind of prehistoric thing, but prehistoric creatures are something that, again, I'm going to be covering in one of the future episodes. So just stay tuned for that, and we'll be talking more about prehistoric creatures to be able to cover more about that. So thanks for writing in, Mr. and Mr. Matthias. I appreciate it. And John also sent me an email. It says, just recently discovered your podcast. Kind of like it so far. I'm listening from the beginning and trying to get caught up to your current podcast as fast as possible. Just had a comment about the Apollo 20 mission you talked about in the August 5th episode. You mentioned that you thought it was possible that the government sent missions no one knows about. I don't think it's possible. An Apollo launch was one of the loudest noises made out there by man. I don't think that NASA could pull off one in secret. Anyway, I'm really getting into some of your content, and the music is cool too. The company website lets us see what you're talking about is pretty cool, pretty good as well. Well, thanks, John. I really appreciate it. I'm trying to get the website up to where it's a little bit better than what it is now, and I appreciate your comment about the content and the music. I'm getting a little bit better, I think, with every show as far as what I'm trying to do with the show. But anyway, as far as your comment about the Apollo 20 mission not being able, or that the government is able to send out missions no one ever knows about, I think that it's not necessarily that no one knows about the missions so much as they sent a space shuttle or something up into space and nobody saw it go up. I think that it's more along the lines of they sent up missions that people thought were for one specific thing, such as they sent up a space shuttle to be able to, you know, put a satellite out into orbit, and you know, people knew about it. They saw it take off. It was probably publicized to some degree, but I think that maybe it was more along the lines of the government not telling us what the mission was truly about. Maybe I did make it sound like it was possible that the government sent up missions that nobody saw take off, because honestly, you're right, it is extraordinarily loud. You can't really miss a big old rocket, you know, going up into space. That'd be something that'd be kind of hard to miss. I think that NASA probably sent up something stating to the public that it was for a specific reason, when it really was for something completely different, just so they could keep it a secret. So basically, that's what I think. That's what I thought mainly about the Apollo 20 mission or any missions that they send up. I'm sure there has to be some kind of underlying thing that they're doing isn't necessarily what they're saying it is. So anyway, the next email was from Jay, not solely Jay, but from another Jay. It says, I'm sure you've already gotten some emails about this, but the giant photo is a hoax. It started from a project where people were challenged to fake a photo. It was actually from a mastodon of excavation in New York. Thanks for the podcast. Just found it and I'm catching up. Well, thanks, Jay. I really appreciate it. Jay actually is a PhD candidate, so he's works out at UVA. I hope that's not too much information giving it out there. But anyway, he sent me a leak to National Geographic that kind of explains what was going on there. And the article that he sent me said is actually titled "Giant Skeletons Fuel Web Hoax." It says, though not used to create the skeleton image on the first page, but of this gallery, the second authentic photo of the New York Station Mastodon excavation gives another perspective on the dig that served as the foundation for the digital artwork. The artwork in turn inspired false reports of an ancient giant discovery. Iron Kite, the digital artist, had nothing to do with the subsequent hoax. To create the photo collage, he said, I kept most of the wood frame from the digital site and replaced most of the muddy dirt with ground from the skeleton picture, using a fuzzy brush to fade to so no hard lines would be visible. And you can kind of see where it was. I mean, you can see kind of where he actually made this photo up. But anyway, I just wanted to say thanks to John for sending that in, just because, you know, honestly, whenever I saw that original giant photo, I kind of did think that it was a fake, that it was a hoax. I personally didn't think that there would be, if they did find a giant of that size, that there wouldn't be any real photos of it that would be made to the public, because of the ramifications of what would happen or what would be realized and how people would react if they found a skeleton that was, you know, 10 times the height of a normal human. I think it was really, it was an interesting photo. I just thought it was really cool. I kind of had a little instinct about me that made me think that it was a hoax. So you guys go in, I'll provide a link to it so you guys can go read the article and take a look at the photos and compare and do your own call on it and as far as what you think. But anyway, I just wanted to say thanks to Molly, to Mr. and Mr. Matias, to Jay, to John, to everybody for writing in and giving me your opinions and everything about what you thought about the topics that I've covered. So I really appreciate it. Also, I'd like to say just one quick mention that I've gotten some downloads from Iraq. Now, for anybody out there who's an international listener, here in America, we're at, I don't know if you want to call it a war or an occupation or whatever you want to call it, but we are currently in Iraq. And I've seen some downloads come from Iraq. And, you know, I'm not trying to start any type of political stuff here, because when it gets into politics is something that I get very heated about, and I'm not going to get into it. But I'm just saying that hopefully, if there are any soldiers out there, American or not, whoever they are, if they're from a different country, you know, if you're listening, I just want to say thank you for listening, and I hope that I can provide some kind of enjoyment from here in the States for those of you who are serving us and those of you who are serving your countries. If you're, you know, one of, you know, an American ally or whatever you want to call them that are listening to the show, either way, thanks for listening. I really, truly do appreciate it. But thanks for everybody for giving me your opinions. Also got one email from Wesley, who also sent an email. It says, "Recently discovered the podcast and look forward to many more. I'm writing about your recent discussion of giants. It seems that this subject is coming up more often. I am an amateur, albeit educated research anthropologist, meaning I went to school for it, but I don't do it professionally. The subject of giants is a fascinating one. I would love for you to spend some time, perhaps an entire podcast, discussing this. I would like to suggest a guest for you to discuss this in a more likely tied-in subject than Nephilim of the Biblical mention, Dr. Chuck Missler." Now, again, doing interviews is something that I'm still kind of on the fence about. I'm not sure if I'm going to do them or not. At this point, I'm just not set up for it. I want to do them, but I'm just not set up for them. And to be completely honest with you folks, there's a lot of people out there who have shows that do interviews. Most people, most of the shows do interviews. And I know a lot of people like interviews. I know a lot of people like to listen to interviews. I do. I like to listen to interviews. But I'm just not set up for it. I don't even know if I have the time to do it. Actually, the guys out at Erie Radio, and thanks again, Wes, I appreciate you sending in the email, and I'll definitely give some good consideration to having Chuck on the show, and we'll definitely have to do a show on giants, for sure. So it'll have to be one of the future episodes, but it'll definitely happen. But basically, the guys out at Erie Radio wanted me to be on their show. And they wanted me to do their news segment live for their first show, and wanted me to be on there so they could talk to me. And to be honest with you, I really wanted to do it. I just don't have the time. There's always seems to be something that's going on. But anyway, I went to a metal festival yesterday and went and saw a few of my friends play in their bands. And it was fun, but I didn't have time to go on Erie Radio. I really wanted to do it. I wanted to be on there so I could do, you know, a live version of their news segment and to be able to do an interview with them. But at the same time, I just don't have enough time. But anyway, you know, let me go ahead and shut up. I think I'm rambling here. So anyway, you guys, those are some of the emails that I've talked to or that I've gotten in recently. And basically, you know, I think the show's going to get better from this point on. I apologize for not getting the show out any sooner, but again, it's just been busy. But anyway, there's no excuses. Excuses are like a-holes. Everybody's got one. So I'm going to go ahead and shut up, and we'll continue on with the show. All right, the first thing that I wanted to talk about is courtesy of Wonder Cabinet. dad.co.uk, and it's called The Best Damn Dad of 2007. You guys need to go check this out. It's got some really cool stuff on here, and I actually might have to talk about some of this stuff. It says, we had many medical oddities in 2007 with an eruption of limbs, horns, giant balls, odd feet, etc., as well as the tree man regurgitators, magnet men, mermaids, men with extra holes, human radar, and possibly the most linked to blog entry, which was people with backwards feet. Right at the tail end of the year, we even looked at the people with tails, which I've heard of before, so I don't think it's that paranormal. But another thing was art adding magic and whimsy to modern living, including the carved stone head mystery, which I don't know if you guys heard about that, but somebody was leaving carved stone heads on front doors of like odd places. But anyway, they're also talking about fairy doors and tiny public sculptures. The idea that ghost dreams can bite was an odd one. Good ghost stories also cropped up with the Cold Lod of Hilton Castle and the Ghost of the Empire. Alice in Sunderland, which was a best graphic novel of the year. Anyway, you guys got to go check out some of this stuff. I mean, if you go and you take a look at the article to see somebody with backwards feet, you guys got to go check this out. It says, strange beings with their feet on backwards are common in folklore, from witches to ghosts to vampires. Now, recent reports from China reveal a woman which recalls those denizens of the dark, but there is nothing dark about her upbeat outlook. You know, honestly, I can say that it is one of the strangest, odd things I've ever seen. You guys got to go take a look at it. And whenever you go to the article, to the link that I'll provide in the show, read on down in the third paragraph, I think it is. If you look down at the third paragraph, you'll see where it says, we had many a medical oddity with an eruption of extra limbs, horns, giant balls, odd feet, blah, 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 blah. Just go to where it's highlighted, where it says backwards feet. Click on it. You'll see another link. And the very first picture you'll see, sure enough, is this woman with backwards feet. And it's really bizarre because her feet literally do point in the opposite direction as ours do. I mean, they're completely and utterly backwards. Unbelievable. I mean, just crazy that could happen in the human genes, that you could actually have backwards feet or toes are backwards. Everything looks pretty much the same except for the fact that they're completely and utterly backwards. You got to go check out the people with tails. There's a couple of videos there. It came from Russia, and this person actually has a tail. Now, I can't tell if it's actually true or not, but you guys got to go check it out. Unbelievable that people have tails. Anyway, you guys got to go check out some of this stuff. So, it's courtesy of wondercabinet.co.uk. And you just click on the little links, they're highlighted. You can't really miss them. But anyway, there's some of the best damn data of 2007. I thought it was interesting with some of the stuff that they were talking about. So, anyway, that's the best damn data of 2007.
Airy Radio, opening the door to the unknown. Download episodes of Airy Radio directly from iTunes or visit their website at www.airyradio.com.
Now, this next article is courtesy of fromtheshadows.blogspot.com, and it says, Shadow Man Attacks in Australia. Anne Williams of Sydney, Australia, was roused at about 3 a.m. in 2005 with something in her room. It was not friendly. One early morning, I felt so strongly that there was a presence standing next to me to my left as my bed was right in the corner of the wall. I felt that I felt as though I was blocked, like something was standing over me and wanted to scare me. She didn't understand what she saw. She says that as I opened my eyes to see what the hell it was, there stood on my left side of the bed a black cloaked hooded figure. The thing leaned over me, and its face was gray and snowy like a TV screen when it's all fuzzy. Its eyes were black and sunken in the snowy face. I screamed and instantly was pinned down to the bed. The only body part I could move was my neck area. Everything else was locked to the bed. Anne lied on her back trying to scream as the figure leaned into her. I felt that it shoved its arms down my neck and was choking me as nothing came out of my mouth. Like no noise. I could not even hear myself scream, but I was. Tears ran down her face, soaking into her pillow as she tried to scream but couldn't. I was trying to get up, which I could not. I felt that it was trying to scare me to death. Then the black cloaked figure increased the terror. After a while, all these horrible things are happening. I got more strength in myself. The figure decided to scare me more. It half went inside me and was cold like ice. As it went into me, I felt so sick. Anger began to rage through Anne as the shadow figure pushed itself into her. Pardon the language here, but I started to get pissed off as the piece of shit was trying to hurt me. So I thought, that's it, I'm going to pray to God. She lied there, still pinned to the bed, choking, crying, and trying to scream. I really felt that I was going to have a heart attack as the thing was so powerful, she said. I had the strength of my soul to pray to God and ask for it to leave me alone. Then she opened her eyes to look into the shadowy, cloaked face of her attacker. I said angrily in my soul, "Leave me alone, whatever you are, leave me alone. You are not welcome to be in my body. It's mine. You don't belong here." She lies still, locked to the bed, a face awash with tears, and eventually the cloaked shadow man just let her go. I got up all in a sweat, and I was like, I saw a ghost. I felt victimized and felt no one could help me, she said. Well, I know that God helped me. Anne still can't figure out what happened. Her mother told her that it was the spirit of a rapist. I don't know what it was, but I felt as if it was evil and wanted to kill me. I wonder why this happened to me. It's all a mystery. The shadow being returned the next day, but Anne said prayer drove the black cloaked thing from her. I flew out of bed and prayed to God to take it away. I opened my eyes and it was gone. Thank God for his help. But the thing wasn't gone forever. A year later, Anne was living in another house when the thing came back. Again, it was in the early morning, she said. I was sleeping on my right side and in my ear someone whispered in a male voice, "I'm here." I was so tired, I just said in a mumble, "Go away, I want to sleep." I felt a chill when it was next to me, she continued, and I felt sick when it spoke to me. Anne doesn't know if her attacker was a demon or a ghost, but as of January 2008, she hasn't been visited again. I just thought it was an interesting story. I always think that shadow people are really, it's kind of an interesting thing because it kind of straddles that line between a waking dream and, you know, in her case, it almost sounds like it was trying to possess her or something along those lines. Maybe, like she said, maybe it was trying to scare her to death. I don't really know, but I think it to be interesting that shadow people can physically and mentally, emotionally interact with people. Again, I don't know if they're really physical beings or if it is some kind of a mental, like I said, waking dream. Again, shadow people is going to have to be a whole topic for a whole entire show. I just thought that the article was pretty creepy that she thought that it was the ghost of a rapist. I don't necessarily know exactly if it would have been the ghost of a rapist, but I thought it was an interesting story. The next little article on this same thing is called Cloaked Shadow People on the Highway. It says Lucy and her husband were moving from Oregon to Ohio in 2003 when they encountered something they never expected to see and now never expect to be without. We were severely sleep deprived, and on the evening of day two, I began to notice something very odd. At first, she thought she may be hallucinating, but later realized she was not. I was seeing amorphous, floating, black, cloaked and hooded figures skimming about 6 inches to a foot off the ground. Some of the beings were standing still, but most seemed to be heading somewhere definite. Some of the shadow people were traveling as fast as the truck her husband drove. I saw them here and there every few minutes, and I couldn't help but feel disturbed. Though I was quite tired, I felt wide awake, and everything I saw looked completely normal. As they drove east, the sighting continued, almost like Lucy was catching a glimpse of another highway in another realm. Lucy and her husband stopped for a rest that morning after an encounter that was too close to be comfortable. I was amazed every time I saw another shadow figure. Several passed over the highway, crossing our path as we drove. For the few hours when this happened, I saw them through dusk darkened into the next morning. Towards dawn, one shadow figure passed right through the cab of our moving truck. I clearly saw the drape of the folds of the encompassing cloak, though the face and head were hidden deep in a cowl. I couldn't help but gasp and pull away, too stunned to worry about how my crazy reactions might have seemed to my husband. But he noticed her jump, and Lucy was surprised that he knew why. He turned and looked at me and said, "You saw it too?" I was astonished, but at least we were able to compare notes and it seemed like we were seeing the same thing. What's more, we were seeing the exact same figures at the exact same time. They began pointing out the cloaked, hooded shadow figure as they drove, slightly relieved that they weren't going crazy. Neither of us had been ingesting any substances or drinking anything but coffee, so these mutual hallucinations were perplexing. Although all we could guess was that the lull of the truck engine over hundreds of miles and both of us being sleep-deprived made it easier to see beings that were perhaps of the astral plane. It says that at that point is when they began to get nervous. When two people start seeing figures of death seemingly everywhere, they might worry for their longevity all of a sudden. We pulled off to stop at the motel shortly after we admitted to one another that we were seeing these things. The couple arrived in Ohio safely and has lived there since, but their drive through the astral plane seemed to open a door that has remained open for them. Since then, my husband and I have both seen these beings a couple of times a year, usually passing through our yard or house. They ignore us for the most part, though once I chased one down, put my hands right through it. When Lucy's hand sank into the chest of the shadow person, she felt an odd, chilled, deep vibration ripple through her. The shadow person stopped when I did this, and I got the distinct impression that his kind are not used to being seen, let alone chased and poked. But apparently, they can see us well enough and feel us, too. At first, when I first started reading this article originally, I was thinking that definitely the whole sleep-deprived thing was the reason for why they were seeing these entities, these beings, or whatever. But at the same time, if they were both seeing the exact same thing at the exact same time, how can you explain that that's sleep deprivation? I don't even know how you really could explain that other than, you know, maybe they were saying that they saw the same things to be able to, you know, to justify, you know, not freaking out about, you know, how tired they were, whatever. I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting article. I think shadow people are a very interesting topic just for the fact that you can't really, I mean, I've seen a shadow person, so I know for a fact that you can see them, but I don't know, y'all. Anybody knows anything about it, let me know. You got any links to some convincing articles one way or another as far as whether it's real or not, let me know. But I will be doing an episode on the shadow people in the upcoming future. I just thought that was an interesting article to read. So the next thing that I wanted to talk about is a prehistoric war and ancient flying aircraft uncovered. And it's courtesy of agoracosmopolitan.com. And basically, the article is talking about an ancient nuclear war. It says that the Indian epics, especially the Mahabharata, reveal a tale of devastation and destruction. Atlantis, rather displeased at its humiliating defeat, deceived that they were no longer interested in subjugating the Roma Empire. And decided instead to annihilate the major cities using weapons of mass destruction. Sanskrit scholars could not comprehend what was being described in the epics until the dropping of the first atomic bombs in Japan. They are documented authentic verses from the Indian epics. And I'm just going to read a little bit of one of the passages from this to give you an idea of what they were talking about as far as it being a prehistoric nuclear war. And this thing that I'm about ready to read is part of the Indian Empire, the Indian epics, like the Mahabharata. So I'm just going to read a little bit of that and let you guys get an idea about what they're talking about. Gurkha, flying with a swift and powerful Vimana, hurled a single projectile charged with the power of the universe. An incandescent column of smoke and flame, as bright as 10,000 suns, rose with all of its splendor. It was an unknown weapon, an iron thunderbolt, a gigantic messenger of death, which reduced to ashes the entire race of the Vrishnis and the Antakas. The corpse was so burned as to be unrecognizable. Hair and nails fell out, pottery broke without apparent cause, and the birds turned white. After a few hours, all foodstuffs were infected. To escape from this fire, the soldiers threw themselves in streams to wash themselves and their equipment. That was from the Mahabharata. The article goes on to say, indeed, this story is said to be nearly 24,000 years old. If this is true, then we are not the most technologically advanced civilization to ever exist on Earth. As the Bible says, there is nothing new under the sun. Evidence for Atlantis is also well documented. If the above was not enough to convince you, let's take a deeper look into the nuclear war. Now, this is also from the Mahabharata. It says, it was a weapon so powerful that it could destroy the earth in an instant. A great soaring sound and smoke and flames, and on it sits death. Dense arrow of flame, like a great shower, issued forth upon creation, encompassing the enemy. A thick gloom swiftly settled upon the Pandava host. All points of the compass were lost in darkness. Fierce wind began to blow. Clouds roared upward, showering dust and gravel. Birds croaked madly. The very elements seemed disturbed. The sun seemed to waver in the heavens, and the earth shook, scorched by the terrible violent heat of this weapon. Elephants burst into flame and ran to and fro in a frenzy over a vast area. Other animals crumpled to the ground and died. From all points of the compass, the arrows of flame rained continuously and fiercely. That also was from the Mahabharata. The article goes on to do quite a bit of explaining. It says there seems to be a fear of educating the world's people about the distant past. Leaders of empires in China's past, and the also empires associated with Christian and Arab peoples, have all been implicated in a concerted effort to destroy historical records, which include artifacts. These empires sought to systematically destroy historical records that would spread awareness about previously technologically advanced civilizations in the path of greed, oppression, and eventual destruction. However, Indian epics are still largely intact, but the records of South American history are also all but gone. Fear and other factors have removed most of history before 5,000 years. Many records were destroyed only 1,000 years ago. In America, the destruction began to take place more recently, about 300 to 500 years ago. Today, perhaps, numerous records of extraterrestrial contact are also being systematically destroyed to support an apparent agenda of social control, which wouldn't surprise me. I'm a big believer in government conspiracy to control people through fear. It's pretty obvious that the governments around the world, not all of them, but the governments around the world want to control people with fear, especially here in the States. It's ridiculous. They basically, you know, make people, you know, believe what they have to say through fear, and I don't really agree with that, but they basically, it wouldn't surprise me if the government did, you know, destroy a lot of stuff pertaining to history to be able to make history out to what they want it to believe for their agenda. But anyway, there's quite a bit more to that article. It goes on to explain, just a whole bunch of stuff. It does comparisons to it says, does the Hindu epic poem Mahabharata, written between 300 BC and 380, describe the nuclear war and its effects? And it's got some interesting pictures that I think you guys should probably go take a look at. I'll provide a link to it in the show notes, but I just thought it was interesting that there could have possibly been a nuclear war way back in the 24,000 years ago, as far as what they said. So anyway, you guys go take a look at it. That's the prehistoric nuclear war. All right, y'all. The last thing that I wanted to talk about is courtesy of services.inquirer.net. And it's called Healing Priest Does So Many Miracles Like in the Bible. And it's from Manila in the Philippines. It says, a Canadian woman declared dead 8 hours earlier, her organs ready to be harvested and donated, suddenly opened her eyes after Filipino priest Father Ferdinando Suarez prayed over her. Suarez, who was then a seminarian, was stunned. He said, "Let me out of here." It was all he could say because he was ready to flee. He was supposed to go and see the woman earlier, but was not able to make it in time. When he arrived at the Ottawa Civic Hospital in Canada, it seemed too late. But Suarez wanted to see her anyway, and surrounded by doctors whom he requested to be present, prayed over the woman. The miracle happened. The woman is now well, Suarez says, and has resumed her normal life. That case, which happened almost 9 years ago, is probably the most stunning of all. But Suarez continues to amaze, baffle, and bring hope and joy through his ministry that has seen the healing of countless sick and infirm in many parts of the world, including the Philippines. "It's not me," says casually. He's convinced that he is just a channel for God's healing power. It also says the soft-spoken Suarez, a 2007 TOYM, or the Outstanding Young Men awardee for religious service, projects an ordinariness that is both pleasant and endearing. His boyish looks do not easily reveal what God was wrought through him. He does not have an electrifying aura, nor does he shriek and shout to slay evil elements like some Bible-thumping televangelists do, which I agree with. I agree with that. If you can be modest doing that, then, you know, you might actually have something to it. It says that Suarez goes about it gently in his own soothing way, touching, praying over people, pleading for healing, and because he wants everything centered in the Eucharist, he always begins with a holy mass. It kind of compares, what he's doing to what's in the Bible. It says miraculous healing continues to happen. People who have been assisting him for some time have witnessed the impossible. Businessman Greg Montclaro of Couples for Christgauwag Kalinga has seen it all. "Except the raising of the dead," he says, "but the deaf ear, the blind see, the lame walk, all of this told in the Bible, I have seen it happen." In Bulacan, Montclaro narrates that there was a young boy who was born with practically no bones. "He was soft like jellyfish. I was holding him in my arms when Father Suarez prayed over him. I myself felt the bones begin to grow inside the boy's body, and suddenly there he was, walking." That would be interesting. I'd like to see that happen. That would be something else to see, not only somebody with no bones, but to see them grow and then, you know, be able to walk. That would be interesting. It says, "How does one explain that? My own problem here is that I have seen so many miracles that has become so common to me," Montclaro says. Not that he is complaining. Journalist and documentarist Bernardo Lopez has his own share of miracle stories to tell, and he continues to use his video camera to capture moments that he hopes would convince many of what God is doing through Suarez. He has avidly followed the priest and has uploaded images on YouTube, which has been getting thousands of hits. I'm going to have to go find those videos, flat out. If I can find them, I'll post them. It goes through quite a few different things that he's talking about. There's a lot here, more than I could talk about. It goes on about a 40-hour vigil, and I think how he goes abroad, you know, trying to help people and all that stuff. But it's really interesting to see and to know that there possibly could be somebody out there that could heal people the way that Jesus supposedly did whenever he was whenever he was alive. Now, I can't say that Jesus ever was alive, or if he wasn't alive, I wasn't there to experience it. You know, again, it's going into religion. Probably shouldn't go too far into it, because if I do, I'll probably end up pissing some people off. So we'll just keep my opinions to myself on that, but it's an interesting article, to say the least. So you guys go take a look at it. I'll provide you links in the show notes. Well, you guys, I tell you what, this episode, I don't think it's going to be as long as the rest of them. But anyway, I think it was a decent show. I just wanted to get one out there so you guys can have something to listen to. If you got any opinions or anything about the topics that I've talked about in today's show, shoot me an email at feedback@the13skulls.com or the13skulls@gmail.com and let me know. Also, if you got any criticisms, or if you got any ideas about stuff you want me to talk about in the show, or if you got any feedback whatsoever, go ahead and shoot it to me. You can also give me a phone call at 206-338-2205. Give me a call, and if you got any experiences or anything, leave me a message. Or if you want to record it and shoot it to me in an MP3, go for it. However you want to do it, it's completely up to you. But again, the 13skulls.com is going to be undergoing some drastic renovations and some changes. The new site will basically have it'll have a forum and a chat and all kinds of different stuff. So hopefully it'll be worth all the time and effort spent to get it up and running. But again, just wanted to say thanks to Molly, Mr. Matias, John, Jay, Wes, all you guys for sending in feedback on the topics and giving me your ideas and opinions on what you think things are. But if you like the music in today's episode, go to iodealliance.com. The music is courtesy of Ioda Promenet. So if you like the music, there'll be links to be able to download the music from today's show, and there'll also be links to be able to buy the music from today's show if you like it that much. So anyway, I guess really that's pretty much it for this show. If you feel like it, if you really wanted to, go to Podcast Alley and give me a vote. There's a link on the right sidebar, both the websites, 13skulls.podomatic.com and 13skulls.com. There's a voting link on both the right sidebars. Please go and give me a vote if you wouldn't mind, you know, if you feel like it, if you like the show enough, you know, give me a vote. If also, if you like the show a lot and you're getting it through iTunes, please go and give me a, you know, a review on there if you feel like it. Also, if you really want to let me know where you're at and where you're listening from, go sign the Frapper map and, you know, put a pin in there and let me know where you're at. But I guess that's about it, y'all, for this episode. So I guess you guys try and have a great day, week, day, night, weekend, whatever it is that you're listening to the show. And again, as always, I'll talk to you guys on another day.